Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Saints of God, we are so blessed to be granted the privilege of sitting and dining with our Maker. This is the highest form of honor to be received and to be invited by the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords. You know, He is gradually preparing us for the great feast where He will unveil us to His guests, where the Bible says that the bride has made herself ready so that he can show His guests our beauty, wherewith He has beautified us with. I pray that our response be not like that of Vashti. Rather, may we heed to His call in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, the Lord has been leading us to eat of the bread which He has given, even what we generally call the manna. And I pray that as we continue this day, that He will open our eyes of understanding to see that which He has prepared for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Today we will be looking at our text, original text, and then we'll also look at another Bible passage from the book of John, chapter 6. So first, let's read from Deuteronomy chapter 8. That has been our text from the onset. John chapter 8, verse 1 down to 3. Here he says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." Excuse me. "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Amen. We're going to read also the book of John, chapter 6, verse 31. And it reads here, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." May the Lord have blessing to the reading of His word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, we will dwell more on John chapter 6. This particular remark or statement that Jesus made in response to what the Jews have said, the Israelites have said. We know there have been a lot of confrontation between the various faction of the Jews with Jesus countless times concerning the law and how things should be done as regards the law. And in this case, after Jesus had finished speaking with the people, there arose a question concerning a sign and manifestation, and they try to prove their own sign that they, their fathers did eat manna from heaven. And for this reason, we also read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, where God himself was speaking through Moses, and he told them that indeed, truly, that he gave them manna from heaven, and he gave them the purpose, gave us a reason why he gave them the manna. But Jesus, when they raised this particular scene to Jesus, Jesus told them that Moses did not give them the true, the real, that bread from heaven. That statement offended not only the Jews, but even the disciples of Jesus Christ. If you read further, you get to know that some of his disciples left him because of these things. Not only because he said they should eat his flesh and drink his blood, but because his statement sounded as though he was disregarding the testimony of Moses concerning the sin that happened in the wilderness. Moses has said that God gave them bread from heaven, and Jesus is saying God did not give them that bread, that Moses did not give them that bread from heaven. Indeed, anyone will be offended. Maybe if you and I were there, we would have been offended. And many left him because of these. So, does this really mean that the testimony of Moses was wrong concerning the event that happened in the wilderness in the desert where God actually fed them? We were able to establish these few days that God fed them for 40 years as they roamed the desert, and none of them was feeble, none died out of any form of sickness, none of them had any diseases, but the bread which they ate, which was a supernatural food, not like what any human being had seen before, we were able to establish that this was what kept them. But more than that, it was the law of God that preserved them. But here, when Jesus came, he took us to another level and told them that Moses did not really give them that bread from heaven. And there was a true bread which God was going to give to them from heaven. Now, to begin with, they never quoted that Moses gave them bread. They said he, which is God, gave them bread from heaven. But here, Jesus, on the other hand, was saying Moses gave them bread. And the bread was not that bread from heaven. Now, Jesus never said that Moses didn't give them bread from heaven, but he's saying that it was not that bread. And he said his Father, which is God, is the one that gave them the bread from heaven, the true bread. Now, Jesus was not trying to contradict or disregard that which happened in the desert, but rather he was trying to add value to what happened in the wilderness. What did Moses, or what did God, give to the children of Israel? He gave them a supernatural bread that kept them for 40 years, that preserved them until they entered into the promised land, where they ate of the corn of the field that grew from the ground. But Jesus was saying that that was not the true bread. Now, the word true, I would like to lay a little emphasis on the word true. The word true is not the opposite of false. Neither does it mean the opposite of lie, of a lie. But the word true, I would like to take it from the context of the seven church ages, where Brother Bram explained what it really means. When he was talking about things, that these things said he that is true in the Philadelphian church age, he had this to say. He said that the word true expresses the perfect realization of an idea as contrast with its partial realization. I'll explain that again. It says it expresses the perfect realization of a particular idea in contrast to its partial realization. Let's see some scriptures that relate to this particular term, true. We can see in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands," that is the temple, "which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to prepare in the appear in the presence of God for us." Christ is not entered into the holy places. There were holy places, and these holy places were the holy place and the most holy place, or the holiest of holies. These were holy places, but they were not holy compared. They were partially holy. When I mean the word partial, I'm not saying that they were not really holy. They were holy. We saw how great it was that even the people, the priest, could enter once. And when he enters, he doesn't enter without blood. But Paul is saying that Christ did not go into this particular holy place, but went to the real holy place. That is the one that we know of, which is a physical temple, was a kind of a shadow of the actual. Because we see when Moses was to prepare the temple, God told him that you have to design these things according to the plan, the pattern, which is shown to you in heaven. So there is something that is in heaven that Moses had to look out to be able to design his own plan on earth, the temple on earth. So whatever is in heaven is the true, is the real one. Whatever we see on earth is the shadow. So the word true there expresses reality, while in contrast to a partial or a shadow. Amen. So we can see anything that we talk about that talks about true, we can see that in First John chapter 5, it refers first to God, because he is the perfect reality. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true." He's not talking about the contrast of being false, but we're seeing that he that is the perfect reality, he that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, the real God, and eternal life. So the life we are living, we know it's like a shadow. We know it's like the wind. We can pass away at any time. But there is a real life, there's a true life, which is the life of God. And that is eternal life. So when the Bible, when Jesus was talking about, was telling them that Moses did not give them the true bread, he didn't say that Moses didn't give them bread from heaven. But he's telling them that Moses gave them a shadow. What Moses gave to them was a partial reality, as compared to the perfect reality. So, Moses didn't give them that real bread from heaven, but the Father now is giving them that real bread from heaven. True, this word offended them, but it was the truth. And he said, anyone who will receive this bread and eat of the bread will live forever, will have eternal life, as compared to those who ate in the wilderness, which was their fathers, they ate in the wilderness and they were all dead. They all perished. Even after eating the supernatural bread, they still perished. But anyone that will eat of this true bread, he said, you will live forever. Though the people could not understand his words, they could not get his speech, but what was Jesus talking about? He was talking about the word of God. If you read further, it says that the words I speak unto you, they are true, they are spirit, and they are life. Whatever we see is temporal. So the bread that they saw and they were able to eat was temporal. And at the point in time, it vanished, it ceased to exist. So they also, who ate of it, ceased to exist. But we see the true bread which God has given to us in the character, in the image of the person of Jesus Christ, is life and it lives forever. It cannot fade away. So anyone that will eat of that bread will not fade away. So he admonished them that they should, in initial verse, he had admonished them that they should not labor for the bread which will pass away, which perish. In verse 27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So he's admonishing us that we should partake of that very bread. We should not labor for doctrines that will suit our bodies and then we will be happy for a while, we'll receive joy for a while, and then it will perish. Something that will comfort this body, at the end of the day, it will not last. And so we will not last. But if what we should labor for is for that bread which God gives. As we proceed to see how he sacrificed himself and gave us that bread, so that as we continue to eat of it, we continue to feed on the life which he has given to us. I pray that God will grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.